Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the downtown area at
The Baker and the Chef, Bang On T-shirts, Beat Street Records, Dunlevy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattooing, Fortune Sound Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Perch, The Portside Pub, Save On Meats, and Vinyl Records.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca. Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here, God, ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed
up.
Isn't there
anything?
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 Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
This is Sports is Fun on CITR 101.9. CITR.
And we are back.
Hello again, listeners. I'm Ethan.
This is Sean.
I'm Sean again, as always. Sean, Patriots, world champs.
World champions.
We're going to get to that. We're going to recap some of the moments of the game, as well as other big moments in sports this week.
Other big moments in football.
And we have our first guest. We, Sean and I decided that we need to follow another sport now that football's over.
So we decided.
So we decided to get an expert in, what's that game? It's like handball for your feet.
It's called football. Funnily enough.
Right, European football, right?
Yeah, no, I don't... What's Europe?
Yeah, so we have an expert analyzer who hails from Britain, of all places.
Yeah.
And he's going to tell us lots of jolly things.
He's a jolly fellow.
But before we get to that, let's talk about
real sports.
Yeah.
Oh, sports.
Yeah. Do you watch any hockey this week? Watch any Canucks games?
If I said I did, would you believe me?
No, it was more of a rhetorical question to get the, it was like a segue.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, you pick up all these tricks once you get to episode 2.
I guess I'm still stuck in episode 1.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, NHL, season's just chugging along, you know. It's good to see in the West, we got 3 Canadian teams in the playoffs right now. I think that is as opposed to 0 last year. We got Winnipeg, Vancouver, and Calgary are 6, 7, 8. They're just holding on, but should see some Canadian action come May, and that's a plus from last year. And on the other end of the spectrum, the Toronto Maple Leafs have now lost 10 in a row.
It's not so good.
That's not the best.
It's not that great.
What is that? Is that about 6% of this? No, way more than that. That's about an eighth of the season. That's about 12% of the season.
It's pretty bad. My dad's a Leafs fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's. Almost 70. He's turning 70 this month.
Oh, well.
So he's seen them win at least.
I guess so.
Think about that. As a child, he watched them win a championship, and now he's almost 70, and he hasn't seen it since. That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Well, I almost felt like that about the Patriots, and then you know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Real tough life as a Patriots fan.
I mean, it had been
10 years without a title.
10 years is a long time.
Yeah, but you won 3 before then.
Oh, yeah, but it didn't. Well, I didn't remember, you know.
Anyhow, I can't even say Cry Me a River because I know you won't now.
No, I won't.
You know, you're back on top.
I'm on top.
How about we move from the ice to the hardwood?
Let's do that.
Not much really going down in the NBA, but I just wanted to mention the month that the Atlanta Hawks had of January, 17-0, only undefeated month in NBA history.
Pretty impressive.
You know, sports, go ahead.
I was going to say Atlanta, you know, historically a powerhouse of a team.
It's true, isn't it?
Well, I mean, they make the playoffs pretty consistently, but they never do anything.
Well, they've had some classic teams as well.
Like, what's his name?
Dominique.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. Wilkins.
Wilkins, yeah, the dunk contest hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sports is, it really boils down to results, right? It's the winners are famed and the losers are shamed. And so it's kind of, you know, like people dream about perfection in sports. You know, you bowl 300, you throw a perfect game in baseball.
You win four Super Bowls.
You win four Super Bowls, even though you didn't win for 10 years before then.
And you almost won two other ones.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Even the best figures in sports aren't perfect all the time. 17-0 for Atlanta. The streak's over now, and it ended at 19.
They lost to the Pelicans, I think.
Yeah, they did lose to the Pelicans.
Pelicans are like an enigma. They have some good young players.
Yeah, I've watched them beat all the best teams this year.
Yeah, no, they.
Yet they're not on top at all of the standings. But yeah, so just kudos.
I mean, DeBrow,
the Atlanta Hawks.
DeBrow, what's his real name?
Who?
DeBrow.
Who's DeBrow?
You know, the guy with the unibrow.
Oh,
that's his nickname.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis has the highest PR stat in history right now.
What, public relations?
Yeah, he's
being nicknamed DeBrow.
Yeah, no, but he has player efficiency rating is the highest in NBA history right now.
What's that measured on? Like, how is that?
How his improvement over like a league average player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the highest in history of any player right now.
Well, I'm sure they haven't had that stat for very long, though.
I mean, they've applied it to previous seasons before it was invented.
That's just pretty awesome, actually.
He just does everything.
Here's Sean with the advanced stats.
Bam.
Analytics.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about something way more interesting.
Yes,
let's talk about
the LPGA.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Lydia Ko, 17 years old, number one.
Wow.
She is the number one ranked woman golfer in the world, and she's 17. What were you doing when you were 17?
I was playing Halo 3. I was level 50. It's pretty good. Out of 50.
Oh, so you could have been the number one Halo
I mean,
player.
Basically, I was to Halo what she is to women's golf.
Okay.
So it's not that impressive,
wow,
honestly.
I didn't know I was sitting next to it. But now I'm kind of...
You never asked.
Kind of intimidated now.
Well, you should.
Intimidated. Yeah.
Put on my resume.
See, you can hear it already.
Yeah.
But yeah, just to put it in perspective, Tiger Woods, everyone knows who Tiger Woods is. He reached number one when he was 21 years old. That was the earliest. So if she's, you know, Tiger Woods, like his balls probably hadn't even dropped at the same time that she's just winning the cups and sinking the putts.
Yeah, she's ahead of the game.
Yeah, she's a... You know, like, I don't know, like, golfers, like, golfing is mainly for old people, so she could potentially golf till she's, like, 60.
She could golf
her whole
life.
She could hold it down for the next 50 years.
She could.
Yeah.
Or she could fade into obscurity.
She could.
She could.
But we don't know. Anyhow, we're proud of you, Lydia. We're proud of you, Atlanta. And,
We're proud of you,
I'm proud
Lil
of,
B.
Yeah, Lil B. It's time for a promo, so we'll get back with what you actually want to hear. Super Bowl recap.
My name is Natasha. I am a robot now. I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
All right, we're back. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
What do you think?
It was the best game I've ever
Let's
watched.
Let's recap it then.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we're really late to the Super Bowl analysis party. But there are still a couple of things that it's our duty to talk about here.
Definitely. Most definitely.
First of which that we wanted to talk about was in the midst of all the excitement and godlike and Satan-like plays of the game, people have sort of failed to mention Tom Brady's two epic drives in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, those two drives are just getting overshadowed by the big play at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that play is only big because Tom Brady had probably two of the most important drives of his life.
Arguably, yeah.
I mean,
he let's put this in perspective. The Seattle Seahawks haven't, like, Tom Brady took them for 2 touchdowns on 2 drives in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's happened to the Seahawks more than once in a season.
Yeah, no,
in the last couple of years. They're historically good, and by good, I mean great. They're, like, people argue now that they're the best D in history, and mm-hmm. they got torn.
They got lit up.
Brady just tore right through them.
No, he
two times to erase the lead.
Yeah, no team had come back in the fourth quarter from more than 7 points in the history of the Super Bowl. And they
was
came
it
back
7?
From 10. Well, 10, no one had come back from 10. The number that they had come back was 7, is what I mean.
Okay, yeah, so Patriots, it seems like they're all over the...
They know, are.
The good and the pretty, pretty much.
Yeah, no, they were huge drives. They were huge drives.
Full.
Yeah, honestly, Brady only threw 2 incompletes. Before the first touchdown to Amendola, he threw it over his head when Edelman was wide open. On the second drive, over someone's head, completes. He was really on target. Rivers made plays, though. I mean, Edelman got a catch on 3rd and 11, I think, for about 18, 20 yards, and he was obviously concussed on the play. Vereen had a catch that kept the drive alive.
Vereen had the best game I've seen him play all year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it sort of takes a village most of the time in these championship games, and especially this one.
That's how they dealt with the pressure. They had these outlets that Brady could dump it off if he... had the rush in his face, so that's what Vereen did.
Now, I just want to ask, what was going through your mind when Kearse made that? Was it Kearse?
Kearse,
I always mess that up. When he made that godly catch.
When he made that catch?
When I say godly, I mean it has nothing to do with his skill. It looked like God touched him.
Willed it into his hands. I mean, after the second touchdown, the Patriots took the lead. That was the first time I was excited all game. Before that, I was you were there.
I was a very quiet person.
I was very timid. And then at that point, I thought, wow, we actually have a real chance of winning this game. And
sorry for interrupting, but it was kind of funny that we had a bunch of people over at my house, and it was you and another friend of ours were cheering for the Patriots, and everyone else was cheering for the Seahawks, and they were so loud every big play had happened. But at the end of the game, no one cared. No one was upset.
It's almost like a lot of Seahawks
fans. Except you guys were elated.
It's almost like a lot of Seahawks fans aren't real football fans.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I don't want to take any sides here, but I think they lost at least 20%. What do you think? Over under 20% of their fan base disappeared.
I would say it's more like 25. I'd say it's more like a quarter of their fan base, honestly.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think
bandwagon fans happen. I mean, the Patriots are going to have a lot of bandwagon fans now because they won, but that's just the nature of sports.
Now the 12th man is more like the 11.7th man, probably.
Yeah, take that, Seattle. We're talking about that catch, right?
Kick a man when he's down.
We're talking about that catch. They had the first play on that drive was a wheel route to Marshawn for 30 yards.
Great play call, actually.
Yeah, so the Patriots have been killed by the wheel route all season and all game. And I was like, well, they're going to throw the wheel route one of these plays, and it's going to hurt us. And they hadn't at that point, and I knew it was coming. Yeah. So then they have the ball at midfield, like at the 50, with a little over a minute to go. And I was thinking, well, the Patriots defense is pretty good, and Seattle needs a touchdown. So I was still feeling pretty good. And then Wilson throws that ball up. He throws that ball up. Logan, what's his name? The cornerback who ends up getting the interception.
Butler.
Yeah, Butler knocks the ball out of Kearse's hand on a deep ball, and it looks like a great defensive play. And then Kearse kind of stands up and gets pushed out of bounds, and the people doing the commentary don't know what's happening. And they show their replay, and it's like this unbelievable catch. Of course, they immediately cut back to the 2007 Super Bowl where the Patriots lost an amazing catch, and they're showing both these, and I'm just thinking, there's no way that the Patriots are going to lose 2 Super Bowls on 2 of the 5 most spectacular catches in the history of the Super Bowl.
I thought at that point, though, there was no way that the Patriots could win. I thought that was it. I thought it was over. I was looking forward to the 30-second drive that Brady would have had.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, the Seattle Buyers score soon. Give us, a minute to, maybe get a field goal and push it to overtime. So first down, they hand it to Marshawn Lynch. He gets 4.5 yards out of 5 yards. And at that point, I was like, well, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. And I lost all hope. I put my coat on and my shoes on. I was ready to leave. I was going to get out of that house as soon as the clock hit 0. I was ready to go. It was over.
And then the play happened.
Yeah, then the play happened.
I'm sure everyone's talked about it. Whether you've liked to have heard of it or not, yeah, you know, people are arguing the call of Pete Carroll and just, you know, why wouldn't they run it and all that kind of stuff. We're not here to do that today. You know, we're not here to talk about the cause of the demise of the Seahawks.
Well, I mean, they didn't run it because they should have run it. It was game theory. They didn't run it because if you run it there, they only have one timeout. They run it. They don't get a touchdown. I mean, they would have gotten a touchdown, but what they were thinking is if we don't get a touchdown somehow, we have to use our second timeout, or our last timeout, I mean, to stop the clock. And then they're forced to throw because they don't have another timeout to stop the clock. So they were thinking,
I think they could have got the three plays off anyhow because they had one timeout. But nevertheless.
But that's the argument for why you would throw it there. Should you have thrown it there? Probably not.
You know, the whole thing, first of all, it's moot. It doesn't matter now. And second of all, it's trite. You know, I've heard so much about it. I don't even like watch TV. I can't escape hearing about it.
I saw some stat that all season, that was the first interception thrown from the 1 yard line all season. So
and it was also the last.
Yeah.
But we kind of just want to talk about, rather than the cause of the play, let's talk about the effect. You know, what implication does that one play have on the future of Russell Wilson?
I mean, it changed the narrative of both teams going forward pretty significantly. I mean, if the Patriots,
I think it indirectly changed the narrative of the league.
Oh, definitely. If the Patriots lose there, then the narrative becomes, oh, I mean, the Patriots are the greatest team, arguably the greatest franchise in the league history now. Arguably,
especially the greatest new era.
No, most definitely.
Yeah.
If they lose there, then you say, oh, they haven't won since they got caught cheating. They're cheaters. You know, they couldn't do it legitimately. Blah blah blah. And you have the Seahawks, and the narrative becomes, this is, you know, a historically great team. Russell Wilson beats Manning and Brady back to back Super Bowls.
Yeah,
this got flipped on a dime. So. Yeah,
totally. I think Russell Wilson is due for a huge paycheck, and I think that play cost him millions of dollars.
I don't think so. I don't think he's the one that's going to have to deal with the cost of that play.
I think that there was no escaping Seattle. Like, they couldn't have spared any expense on him, because you can't say, like, you just won us two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to pay you a little less than you were hoping.
But think
now they have a little bit of leeway.
Bit. I mean, he did everything he could to make them win that game. He had some great escapes from the pocket. I mean, he didn't play great. The Patriots did a really good job of taking away his receivers, but I mean, he had a really good Super Bowl, honestly. He did a good job.
He did okay.
He wasn't
spectacular.
He got them in position to win the game with 30 seconds to go. It's not,
that's true.
And the play call, I know the main point is to talk about the play itself, but that play wasn't even a bad play call. It's just the Patriots are properly prepared for the play. So
that's true, yeah. Completely shut out the play.
I don't think that he's the one who's going to eat the cost. I think he'll still get paid. I think he'll be the highest paid quarterback in league history. And I think that hurts the Seahawks, win or lose, because now they have less money to pay their defense, and they're going to be a more balanced team now. And
soon, like within the next couple weeks or however long it takes for him to actually sign, his contract will change from the biggest comparative advantage in the league to an absolute hindrance.
Oh, exactly, because he's a good,
so cheap right now that they can afford all the players they want, really.
He's a top seven quarterback that's getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he's about to be a top seven quarterback who's getting paid over $20 million.
Hundreds of millions.
Over the life of his contract, I think he's going to become a hindrance to them because they're not going to be able to, like,
totally.
They already can't pay their receivers. Mm-hmm. Their receivers are a bunch of, like, slightly above average at best, below average receivers.
I don't think they're coming back.
I don't think Marshawn
to the Super Bowl.
I think they're still a strong team next year. I'm more worried about their future over the next 5 years.
I think they certainly live and die with Lynch. Lynch is irreplaceable.
Oh no, Lynch carried them that game.
He's totally enigmatic. I think he's the heart and soul of the team. And if he elects not to come back, which it remains to be seen, I think that's it.
I hope he goes to Oakland because he's from Oakland.
He retires. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah,
he's the best running back in the league. And
I just want him to go to Oakland. I want Oakland to be good.
Yeah, me too.
Like, they're just a funny team.
Yeah.
It's a funny Oakland franchise.
Anyhow, we got to, I guess we're closing the books on Super Bowl 49.
I mean, I'm sure I'll bring it up in future shows if we get future shows, so.
Yeah. Anyhow, we'll be back after this quick ad.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
All right, we're back. Monumental moment of the show's history right now. Our very first guest.
Yeah, sports is fun.
Don't worry,
first
he's
guest.
Tied to the chair. He can't leave. This is who are you?
I'm Alex.
Alex
is the soccer expert.
Yeah, he's we figure the biggest soccer fan I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I thought it was called football, but what do I know?
Yeah,
I mean,
that
it
was
football.
That was actually my first question. Let's just dive right into it. Is it somewhat offensive for it to be called soccer to you, or what?
No, I'm actually okay with soccer. As long as I'm in North America, that's fine. But back home, it is football.
This is the best expert you could find.
How about, what if people started to call it European football?
I would find that a little strange.
Is that borderline? Or?
No, that's just plain strange, honestly.
Do they play European football in Asia? Is it Asian football?
It's world football. There's a reason it's American football. It's
okay, so we should call it world football.
World football. I like that.
Yeah, that actually sounds really
nice.
What
if they played it on Mars?
Well, we wouldn't know yet.
Give it time.
Give it time. There you go. The analyst says give it time.
That's what my ex-girlfriend said.
Ex-girlfriend being the main. Do you ever play soccer on UBC?
On UBC? I have done the past few years. Now I play for a Metro team out in
Burnaby. Oh, like metrosexual?
Not quite. Close. The Metro League, actually, which...
Oh, okay.
Metrotown?
Where do you guys play?
I play in Burnaby. That's
Metrotown. I've been there.
So you gotta go quite a way.
I do.
But it's for the love of the game, right?
Exactly.
Have you ever scored a goal?
Actually not.
Oh, well.
Thank you for that, Sean.
well.
But I was playing as a defender for a large part of the season, so...
Yeah. So yeah, the Vancouver Whitecaps soccer team just had a pretty successful year, and I noticed that football is getting... a little bit bigger, and we mentioned earlier on the show that bandwagon fans, or the bandwagon is sort of a thing that's true in all sports. What do you think about, do you think soccer will pervade the city and the country a little more?
Well, I hope so. I mean, you've definitely seen with the recent World Cup, higher figures from North America.
That's true. Even I watched it.
Even Ethan. so yeah, I'm hopeful. I think it's possible. You see, the MLS is actually growing quite a bit. Though I haven't followed it up to this point. You see, New York City just got a new team.
Not the Red Bulls.
Not the Red Bulls. No, they have a rival team now.
Oh, what are they? What's their name?
They're owned by Man City.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
And they have some big stars. Frank Lampard, David Villa have spoken.
Really?
They both play for
MLS? They haven't played yet.
Whoa,
Frank Lampard
that.
Is on loan at Man City currently.
So this coming year, they're going to start?
They will, yes.
Wow.
It's quite exciting.
David Villa.
Yeah.
David Villa, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, no.
The money is probably one of the major factors, but
oh, for sure.
I mean, why not?
Do you know the team name?
I believe it's New York City FC.
That's a pretty cool name.
Very original. What does that stand for? Because it would have to be EFC to be European Football Club, right?
Well, it's the World Football Club.
Oh,
it's
right. WWF. On to my next question. We want to learn a little bit about you, Alex.
About me?
Who's your favorite team?
I'm an Arsenal fan.
Arsenal, that's a European Premiership League, right?
That is an English team, correct? I grew up in...
This is why we're getting educated.
I grew up in London, North London specifically, which is where they're from. I got to see some pretty fantastic football when I was younger, and still am.
That's awesome. Arsenal's been pretty prevalent in that league for a while now, eh?
They haven't. They've been one of the top teams. Haven't had too much success over the past 8 to 10 years, but we won an FA Cup last year, which was a good sign. Winning a trophy is always important, and we're hopeful.
What place are they in right now?
They are currently joint fifth, but it is very tight from about third to even eighth place. Anything can really happen.
So only the top two really have a shot of winning.
I mean, they're definitely the favorites, but honestly,
who are the top two teams?
The top two teams right now are Chelsea and Manchester City.
Okay.
Chelsea definitely favorites. Very strong squad, a lot of depth. Man City also have a lot of depth, but they've definitely come a little unstuck recently. It's going to be interesting to see how the season finishes.
Do you see that right there? I think it's a commercial break.
Oh, okay. Will you stay for a couple more minutes? Of course you are. You're tied to the chair.
All right, be right back.
Help me.
A man of average height got a sedan holding a baseball bat. He approached a dark-haired woman, hit her in the head, and hit her again as she fell. He continued to beat her ribs, chest, legs, and face until she lost consciousness. He then hit her again, got into his car, and drove away. This is a scene from a video game played by millions. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like a game? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
And we're back. Sorry about that. We didn't mean to leave you hanging there, Alex.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm enjoying myself.
We'd like to ask you a couple more personal questions, if that's all right with you.
We want to enjoy you, too.
Who do you think the best player in world football is right now?
Oh, that is a tough question.
In your opinion?
In my opinion?
Yeah.
Well, it's the classic debate, isn't it, really?
Does Maradona still play?
He doesn't. He doesn't. And he's left a sore place like in a lot of England fans' hearts.
Has he really?
Yeah, a hand of God goal.
I've heard of that. And then he started to record. Was that before or after he recorded Like a Virgin?
I think that was before, actually. I could be wrong there.
Maybe the hand of God was who he was touched by for the very first time.
Who knows?
So
it's a reference, pop culture.
So who do you think the best player is?
Then? Oh yeah, sorry, back to the debate, the real debate. I mean, it's Messi versus Ronaldo.
What's real?
The classic.
Still Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. He just won the World Player of the Year.
Oh wow.
So I mean that's kind of already been decided. I mean now.
How about the young Pogs?
Pogba.
Yeah.
Pogba's looking. I mean, he's 21 years old, and he is in outstanding form right now. Juventus player.
Yeah,
for those that don't know,
him.
French. He's an absolute beast.
So that kind of leads into my next question. Okay. Who is the most promising young player out there right now?
I mean, you could argue Pogba. He looks fantastic.
Yeah. And what squad does he play for?
He plays for Juventus, an Italian team. He was at Manchester United for a while, and they let him go, which turns out to be a pretty poor decision.
Dummies.
Very silly.
They need new management, you know?
They've had two managers in the last year, so
it shows.
Make it out
it
what
really
you
shows.
Two managers in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, this has been a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we only have so much time in the half hour, but we'd love for you to close out the show with us.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
So, I don't know if you heard the first episode. To be honest, I don't know who has. I think it'd be easier to say who has. But,
I listened to it.
So we have this segment we do called For Your Consideration. It's sort of just any thoughts, ideas, hopes, dreams.
Aspirations.
Anything that you can cook up in your idea cooker of a mind.
So to speak,
per se. About sports, floated our way, and we have a couple questions for you that are a couple ideas that we'd like you to consider. Mine is soccer related.
Oh, fantastic.
And I don't think you'll be saying fantastic in a second.
Oh, good.
So the ball is spherical.
Yes.
If the ball was triangular, who would be the best player? And by that I mean, you know, like the passes would have to be so pinpoint, or they would have to be accepted, like pretty much who's the best at passing and accepting the pass, because with a triangular, you couldn't even call it a ball, but...
No, it's a triangle.
With the triangle,
with
it would...
the pyramid.
It could, you know, you couldn't really predict how it would roll, right?
It's true.
Well, so. For me, it's got to be Messi.
And why is that?
Oh, he's just fantastic. His skill
is
just unreal.
Most control, or what?
Yeah, I would say he's got the most control over the ball. Like, you could make an argument for Ronaldo and a few other midfielders, maybe Iniesta, classically. But I haven't seen them with a triangular ball, so I can't say for certain. But for me, it's got to be Messi.
But maybe someday.
Oh, hopefully. I mean, you know.
Have you ever seen the movie The Big Green?
I have not.
No,
that's why you don't know anything about soccer.
Yeah, that's a great soccer movie.
All right, I got a question for you, Alex.
Okay, let me
all right. I'm in, too.
If you're going to take a world football player and put him in the American Football League.
Wait, NFL?
That's the one.
Okay.
Which player would have the best chance of success?
That's a good question.
It is.
Am I thinking like position-wise as well? Because like
any position. Just
any
if
position.
Any of them was going to be a star, which one would it be? You're on the clock. 20
okay.
seconds the show ends.
Okay. I honestly think Ronaldo might be able to do a pretty good job. He's a big guy. He's incredibly fast.
Ronaldo.
I mean, he'd have to bulk up, don't get me wrong, but he could do it.
And what position would he play?
I have absolutely
no idea. All right, you know, if I'm not mistaken, the kicker for the Chiefs actually came from a Brazilian league.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so probably Ronaldo a kicker. The kicker. How could you not think of that?
I mean, I guess he kicks the ball.
I'll let Ronaldo know, see if he's interested.
Yeah, you text him.
If you can get him on the show. If you can get him on the show.
I have connections.
Well, let's do it.
He is the soccer expert. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything for us to consider?
That's a good question.
Maybe a different show or maybe a different job.
obviously, but no. Okay, how about what do you think? How do you think the U.S. are gonna do in the next World Cup?
I don't know. They'll probably come anywhere between 0 and 32nd.
Okay, that's brave.
That's not an answer at all.
1 and 32nd.
I think they come.
I don't really know.
I think they come top 16.
Top 16.
I think top 16 is the next step.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah.
They could have gotten that far this year.
I mean, they could.
They came very. They had a really hard draw.
They did.
Well, luckily for the U.S., they're good at any other sport.
Well, they have the funding, so
they sure do, and the human capital.
There you go.
Anyhow, that's about all we have to say for the night. Just a couple of birthdays going out for the week. Alex, you probably already know this, but Neymar, happy 22nd this week. Cristiano Ronaldo, happy 30th. Oscar De La Hoya, happy 42nd. And Hank Aaron. Happy 80th birthday.
Neymar's only 22.
Neymar is my age. You're older than him.
Yeah, I'm 2 years older than him. Mm. That is depressing.
Yeah, well. And with that, I guess we blow so too. See you next week. Same time, same place. Alex is a single man.
That's right, lady.
And he has Tinder.
All right. Play him out, boys.
Good night.
That sings you back when you're lonesome on the